You have control of what you charge for a book, where it goes, which editor you use, which cover artist you use, how you market, where you market, when you market. It's all up to you. And don't let yourself get overwhelmed, because as much as there is to do, there's a wealth of information out there.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome to the My Future Business Show. My name's Rick Nusky, and before we start with today's show, I just want to say thank you so very much for supporting the show. Your feedback is wonderful. Keep it coming. It's helping the show grow, and it's making all the difference. Now, on today's show, I'm with Paz Ellis, who is a book author. Welcome to the show, Paz.
Thank you very much, Rick. It was very nice to be here with you.
Yes, very nice to have you. Yes, absolutely. Now, look, on today's show, we're going to be talking about Paz's work with her books, Plantains and the Seven Plagues, as well as her upcoming book, Just Finn. But before we do that, Paz, I always like to start off by learning more about the book author, because I know there's a story that goes behind this, and I have a very special place in my heart for book authors. So I wonder if we could start from the start and learn a little bit about you, where you're located and things like that.
Well, I live in Florida right now. I'm originally from New Jersey. Moved away to go to college. I went to Berkeley, California for a year, then went back to New Jersey when my dad got sick to help my mom. And since then, that was back in, if I tell you, you don't know how old I am, it was back in the late 80s. And
Don't worry, you're amongst friends here.
I went to college then in New Jersey, and I did an internship at the United Nations. I worked for jewelry manufacturers. I got into the travel industry. I moved to Florida. Back then, I lived in Miami for just 3 years. And then I got into the travel industry. I did some traveling, mostly to Jamaica. I found that I was really good at sales, something that I thought I would hate. Mm-hmm. But it just turned out I'm kind of like, I do well with people. So I enjoyed that, and I got to travel, and that was fun. And then I moved to North Carolina, and I lived there for a few years, and I worked as a court interpreter, and I was also doing, because I speak Spanish.
Yep.
And then I also was in the travel industry for a while, and then I did the court interpreter thing because I saw a need for it. And then after that, I met my husband, who was born and raised in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And I moved to Oklahoma to be with him when I met him. And I lived there for almost 20 years with my husband, and we lived on a cattle ranch. Mm-hmm. And we have two boys. They're 18 and 20. Have a dog that is very annoying. He barks a lot. Very, very cute. So, I mean, that's the gist of my life as a whole. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we know that I'm a writer.
Yes. So. Yeah, well, look, thank you so very much for sharing. Now, I wonder, with the kids, you know, life seems to go past so quickly, doesn't it? You blink and they're all of a sudden they're young adults, and, you know, things change in your life, and it happens seemingly so quickly. Now, this, I think, is a good segue for us, Paz, to talk about Plantains and the Seven Plagues, because I know that this particular work for you was born out of pain. I was wondering if you could take us through this experience.
Well, my mom passed away, it was 4 years ago, and that's when I originally wrote the book. This is my second edition, and I changed some things around for several reasons, and I'll explain why. But my mom passed away rather unexpectedly. She had been sick, but something happened, and she passed away. Of a sudden, we had to put her in a hospice, and she lasted a week, and she passed away. Mm-hmm. And so my dad had already passed away 13 years before that, and I was beyond upset and angry. I was devastated. I felt lost. My mother was like the center of my universe. She was an incredible person. Well, some parents were, but there was just something about my mother, and I know everyone feels like that about their mother, but I was devastated, and I was not grieving properly. I was so angry, and I was hurt, and so one day I wrote her a letter. I sat down, and I wrote, got my notebook where I usually put all my ideas.
Yeah.
And I just started writing her a letter, a very angry letter. Why did you leave? How could you leave? Just really raw.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, I was trying to put all those feelings. I felt a little better, like I had said something to her, kind of reach out into, you know, the other side, wherever she may be.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I picked up my laptop and I just started to write the book. One of the first things I wrote was the title, which is strange because most authors, they're like, oh, what am I going to name the book? You know, usually your title comes in later. But I knew what I was going to write. I wrote it in 3 weeks. That's really fast.
Yeah.
It's only 100. That edition was like 100 and almost 190 pages. But I wrote it fast. I didn't have a really good editor. And as we know, I was in a lot of pain. And so I think it was very, it was just the book itself was raw and needed to be polished. So here I am 4 years later, and I decided to get a really good editor and republish it and try to, now that I am, have grown from that experience and, mm-hmm. and dealt with my grief, I was like, I could do this now. So I worked a little bit. I made some changes. I added a chapter on a very, very close person to me, one of my best friend's mom that had committed suicide, and I added her in that chapter because I originally didn't put that in because it was already so much. There's a lot of joy and laughter and silliness in my book because I go through when I was a silly little kid, but there is a lot of pain, mm-hmm. and which was the loss of my mom and dad and being separated from Cuba and, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
But I also had to add this chapter about my friend's suicide because it was something that affected me and affected a lot of people and affects a lot of people in this country across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt I needed to add that in. And that is where my book was born. And it was born out of grief. And then after that, I just haven't been able to stop writing. It's just been... I've always written, but like to just sit down and write a book, to actually write the whole thing and finish it. I have so many unfinished books that I started many years ago. But since then, it's just been like, I don't know, I believe it was a cathartic process. And it kind of opened up. It's like if something's plugged and you take that plug out,
mm-hmm.
and then just the waters, just like a dam, you know, the waters just rush. And that's where my writing process began, was through so much pain.
Yeah, thank you so very much for sharing that. That is great insight. I often think about the feelings, you know, because we're human beings. We have 2 feet and a heartbeat. And, you know, our life experiences really impact us. And you've just demonstrated that. How did you feel when you put that pen down and wrote that last word? Was it a mixture of things, or was it joy, or?
I couldn't believe that I had done it. At first I thought, you know, to put it bluntly, this is going to suck. that was the thing. So the first thing I did was I gave it to my husband to read, and he was in tears. And then I sent it to my niece, who was my first proofreader, my firstborn niece.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like beside herself, and so she thought, wow, you've got something here. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll just put it out there. But it was, I knew that something had started, I had begun something, but something else ended. And it was that deep grief that I had became, I started to grow from it and kind of heal, and I was able to then look at it and not be so angry. I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist. I can't tell you about the, I think it's 7, maybe 5 stages of grief.
Yeah.
I probably went through 20, I don't know. But I felt like something happened. It was, I on my website, I have a blog, and I wrote something called Let Life Be Your Springboard. And my mother's death and all that pain was my springboard into my career as an author. Although I always was a writer, and everybody always said, oh, you should be a writer. I always just kind of said, oh, you know, who's going to read my books? But once I got it written, that was, it was good. I mean, what was special was the subject. And I think there, that is, that's what really made it special to me and made it easier. But then at the same time, I felt naked because the whole world is knows what I did when I was five and what I did when I was in college and, you know, all that.
And with that, I guess there's an element of it's therapeutic, it helps you heal, but you do become vulnerable. On both of those points, what's happened since you released that book?
Well, originally not much because, like I said, I just wanted to get it out.
Get it
I
out there.
wanted to, I just, I felt like I had to, like I was on a mission, and part of my healing was to just put it out there. And I had a few reviews. I don't know. I might have gotten like seven, but then I never did any marketing. I never went on any podcast shows. I never went on any interviews. I didn't do anything. I just had it on Amazon, you know, and it just, some people bought it, some people downloaded it, and I was happy with that, whatever. And then now things have changed because more people have been reading it. I've learned a lot in the last few years. What I've done in the last few years is I was studying, I was learning a lot about self-publishing, about being, marketing yourself as an author, a brand, branding yourself as an author, which a lot of people are like, oh, well, why would you need a brand as an author? But you do. If you're self-published, which I am, you have to know a lot of facets of business. A lot of people don't. A lot of authors who are independently published do not. So this whole, that whole time, I wasn't just like sitting around, you know, waiting to be famous or anything like that. I'm not famous. I was learning. And then when I decided, okay, I'm doing this thing again, I put it to the test, what I had learned by republishing. I didn't just go through Amazon. I went through another company, Ingram Spark, which has wider distribution worldwide, and get my book in different in bookstores, although right now no one can visit a bookstore. But, you know, it's everywhere where you can order online. And since I have a background in business, because I did miss something about my past, I'm with my husband, I've been an entrepreneur. I've had a photography studio because I'm a photographer as well. I've had an antique shop. We've had different businesses, liquor stores, laundromats. He's a realtor. I help him with his real estate business. So I have a lot of marketing also experience. And that is probably the biggest thing that I'm facing right now is I spend a lot of time marketing, doing a logo. Who do I want people to know that I am? You know, and that sort of thing.
And the
So.
branding and that sort of process. I'd love to break this into two parts. The excuse me, the component where you're writing, as well as the process of self-publishing, because a lot of the My Future Business audience are aspiring book authors. And as I said earlier, I have a special place in my heart for book authors. I know that there is a process, and writing can be difficult. So in terms of the writing process itself, Paz, for this book and your non-fiction book, are the processes difficult and are they different in terms of structure and, you know, all that sort of thing?
Well, between nonfiction and fiction, having written the memoir, of course, you're writing in first person. Some people write fiction in first person, but the difference with the memoir, as far as the writing, of course, I did a little bit of homework. I had to speak to the only living relative who could give me some history, which was my uncle, my mother's only surviving brother. And he gave me some history on their childhood and things like that that I included in the book, because there's some things I didn't remember. And since my mom passed away, I couldn't go to her and say, hey, I need to know more about
what happened. Can I ask you this?
Yeah, exactly. So I had to do some research in terms of that. Most of the parts about my dad are ingrained in my brain because I grew up with his suffering as far as losing his family due to communism and not being able to see them for 23 years. And then when he finally did see them, he was so sick that he could only see them one more time. My mom took it to visit them. And so it was difficult in the sense that I had to do some research. It wasn't just remember what's in here. Like, what do I remember? The stories that were told to me. And then there's a whole emotional component.
Mm-hmm.
When you're writing fiction, for instance, with Just Finn, the second book that I wrote, which the third part will be coming out. And actually that one I'm republishing as well, because I like my editor so much that I had her edit it. So, but with Just Finn, like I said before, I have to be inspired. It's something, I have to love something. And my younger brother, he's my only brother, he has Asperger's syndrome. Yeah. And so I was talking to him one day, he called me and he's like, I am so excited. And I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, I just found out that I have Asperger's syndrome.
Okay.
And he said, now I know why I've always been so weird, because he was always quirky and he had these things about him. And I had been thinking about him because I saw a program on Netflix a long time ago about this kid that had Asperger's. He was somewhere in the spectrum. I don't know how severe he was.
Yeah.
And so I started writing, thinking about my own little weird things that I do. Like I count, like at the little things that I do sometimes. I think everybody has them. They don't want to admit it. Like some OCD. And so I started writing, and then I researched about Asperger's syndrome a lot. Different associations, different groups.
Yeah.
I talked to a couple of people. I watched videos. I interviewed my brother, and I got the details. I was like, explain to me exactly what was it like when you went to the Navy and when you were in military school, considering what a wild child you were and how he was all over the place. And he gave me an understanding of how people with his form of Asperger need routine, and he needed the structure of the military. He needed to be told what to do, because otherwise he was a loose cannon. So it was like that with the fiction. Even though you know, I went with my brother with part of his true story, he inspired me to write it. He's not the character. He's completely different from this character Finn, but a lot of it, of course, there's a lot of creative license because it's fiction. So I can get to, you know, I'm making up the story. But the story, there is a lot of little things in Finn that are, I liken to my brother, because he's a character.
Yeah, well, you can take some joyous components from his life's experience, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. So writing fiction, you get to... Some people outline their book ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do that per se. I did my research. So I knew that in the beginning, I'm introducing Finn and what he's going, how he is right now and what he's doing. And then I start to explain his growth, his process, how he leaves his parents' home when he turns 18 and he goes out into the world. And I knew where it was going to end. I knew the beginning. I knew the end. And I knew where I wanted him to go. And it was just a matter of being able to process all that information so that my reader could follow it and not necessarily know what to expect, but that they understand Finn, that they understand where he's going, that there's a purpose, that it's not just, oh, this is just a book about, you know, some guy, somebody's just trying to write fiction to write a book. No, like, I think your character has to have a purpose. He has to have, or she has to have a goal. You have to feel them. They have to you know how actors, I don't know if you've ever spoken to actors, a lot of them, they become that character while they're doing the movie.
Yeah.
And I process my characters. Like I almost do something similar in the way that I'm always thinking, what would Finn do? What would Finn say? How would, you know, his foster family act? What's going to come next? And how are my readers going to relate to this? And am I going to be satisfied when I finish that beginning to end, the middle is not just gobbledygook, just filler. It has to mean something, because sometimes you start reading a book and you're like, wow. And then you're like, oh, I hope that I don't have O's. And so I try to follow through in the beginning to the end with the same passion that I start. If you understand what I,
yeah.
when I'm trying to convey it.
Absolutely.
It's a little subjective.
You're taking people on a journey, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, life is a journey. And even though it's fiction, it's also real, because there are so many people affected by this. And we didn't know that when I was a kid. I didn't know why my brother was trying to kick me in the head. I didn't know why he would strip the cheese off his pizza and just eat the bread. I mean, we didn't know why he had a problem with texture. We didn't know why he had outbursts. We thought he was hyperactive. We didn't understand. He was a genius at math.
Yeah.
But he couldn't look at you in the eye, and he couldn't read emotions. He still can't. I mean, if I'm crying, let's say I'm crying, my sister and I, or one of my sisters, and we're talking about something, like I'm thinking about that, or we're reminiscing about something.
Yeah.
My brother will walk up and say, hey, have you seen this video on YouTube? Completely unaware that two people are crying, and it is the inopportune time for the video on YouTube. and it's just, you know, how they process. And so that story, it was because of him, inspired by him, but the fiction part of it, well, that's just my baby.
I think it's an important story to tell, because in the fiction, it can affect, obviously, other people's reality, the way they perceive the story that you've told based on your real life experience with your brother. So I think there's some real power in there, just as there is with your memoir. Did your book, Just Finn, take as long or longer to write than your memoir?
Oh, no, definitely Just Finn took longer. I would say a few months, maybe like 5 months. I know that's not a very long time. I know some people, I spoke to a gentleman the other day who left me a review, and he emailed me because he was so touched by my book.
Mm-hmm.
And he had similar experiences in his country in Eastern Europe, similar as far as culturally, he had two different cultures. And so we spoke about that, and he reached out to let me know, I left you a review and I just wanted to talk to you, the author.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that it's taken him like, I don't know, like over 10 years to write his memoir.
Wow.
He's only like 10 years older than me, but I think it's because I wrote it. There was something lighting a fire under me. There was that pain, and there was that thing that I just had, I couldn't move on. I knew that I couldn't move forward if I did something. I would either do something dumb or I would do something productive. And having children and sisters and my husband, I chose to be productive and put to use the talents that God gave me. So speaking to this man, I realized, wow, it is really hard to write a memoir.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. I mean, a memoir is just a chunk of a life. It's not an autobiography. It's not a full thing. So, but I have more to it, because so many people have asked me, oh, I want to know more about this character. I want to know more about that character. So it's kind of turned into something that is going to be growing and kind of like growing. It's sprouting.
In every direction.
Yes. I already have a couple of things underway. And one of the things is that I'm going to be publishing it in Spanish within the next couple of months. It should be launching. So I'm really excited about that because I have so many requests. Like, my parents have to read this, or, you know, this needs to be in Spanish. And so right now I'm waiting for the last two chapters for my translator. Yep. Because I will not translate my own work. I'm too personal. I'm too emotionally involved to do that.
I wonder, on the publishing side, being a self-published author, do you have an interest in publishing an audiobook version?
Not yet. It hasn't really crossed my mind. Well, it's crossed my mind, but I haven't thought about that yet. Yep. It's not something I'm worried about right now. I guess I'd like to see how well my book really does in the near future. And then once the Spanish version comes out, and see if it goes anywhere. I know it'll help once I republish Finn and get the sequel out to Finn. I think that's going to make a difference, kind of solidify my status as an author. You know, some people don't want to just see one book.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, there's some amazing authors that wrote one book, but then they died. I'm kind of dying anytime soon.
No, don't do that. Got too much to give.
No, so we'll see.
So with the publishing process itself, as a self-publisher, is that a difficult thing for people to do?
It's not difficult. It's challenging in the sense that there's a lot that you have to do yourself. Mm-hmm. Aside from writing the book, which is a process in itself, and getting your book proofread and rewriting it and rereading it and reproofing it and writing again. A lot of people do a lot of drafts. You also have to format it. You have to format it for the ebook. You have to format it for print. And you have to learn to do these things. And now, like I say, with Ingram, it takes hours to go through this whole process. And if you've never done it, prepare yourself for at least a week of back and forth. If I made a mistake, I have to go into HTML code and a lot of things that I didn't know before. I know a lot more about it now, but I just taught myself. Like, I didn't hire anybody to do it. Mm-hmm. You can be a self-publisher and get a self-published author and have someone format your book. You could have someone do your marketing and do all that. But of course, that all costs money.
Yeah.
So, and I feel that I like the hands-on. I like being in control of the process.
Yeah.
That is important. And if you're traditionally published, you're still doing a lot of your own marketing. You know, people think, such and such publishing house picked me up. You know, yay, I have nothing to do. That's not true. But as a self-published author, you have control of what you charge for a book, where it goes, which editor you use, which cover artist you use, how you market, where you market, when you market, it's all up to you. And I find that really important. And I think that if you're new to the publishing, as you're asking me, you need to really educate yourself and don't let yourself get overwhelmed, because as much as there is to do, there's also a wealth of information out there, free, some paid, and there's so many people. You can go to Google groups, Facebook groups. You can go to different places like BookBub or Library Thing and talk to people, Goodreads, and talk to people who are like yourself, want to publish a book. And there's so many people willing to help. I mean, I help people all the time. I become part of different groups, and if someone asks for advice, I give them advice. If they have no idea how to create a newsletter, I send them a copy of my newsletter, and I say, look, this is simple, this is how I did it, this is what it looks like. So it's just a matter of putting yourself out there, researching, doing the work, and ask for help if you need it. We're not reinventing the wheel. It's simple. If you don't mind putting some work in, it's very simple.
And the thing that I'm taking from this call, Paz, is that you're focused on helping others through story. You're helping them create books. And I know that the My Future Business audience will respond to this. Now, importantly, when people want to access both your book, Plantains and the Seven Plagues, as well as Just Finn, where are they going to find them?
Well, the easiest place is Amazon.com right now. UK too, I mean, everywhere. But if you go to my website, there's links to all the different places, to Kobo, Barnes & Noble, Google, Apple, just everywhere that it's at. So I have as many links there as possible. I know that it's in other places as well, but I mean, Amazon.com is pretty much the easiest. But if you go to my website, which is PazEllis.com, there's links there to my Facebook and Instagram and everything, so they can read more about the books. I did a book trailer too, and there's podcast interviews. There's all kinds of things that I've done, so they get an idea of more of what we're talking about. Some I've done with business, just business, and some I've done where we just talk about the book or how the title came about, things like that. But if they're interested in the book, they just, you know, go on my page. And some people have written to me and tell me they want like a signed copy. And so what I've done is someone will like pay me and I just ship them the copy. Signed. And I haven't set up a store on my website yet. That's another, that was a little more complicated. You had to deal with taxes and things like that. But
all the other things that come with it. Now, look, as is the case, Paz, with anybody who is on the show, I would be making the links back to your website through the post. So anybody who's on the call with us today, make sure you visit Paz at PazEllis.com. I will spell it out. I'll make it very easy for you to find all of Paz's wonderful work. Paz, thank you so very much for spending some time with me on the My Future Business Show today.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful talking to you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.